And the following Sunday, we start a brand new series called the Iconic Summer Series. It's a new sermon series because we're going to wrap it up today with our current one. But starting in July, this is what we're going to do. We are collecting all the metaphors or icons of the Bible. See, when God speaks to us, He speaks our language. He uses our terminologies in our language, our vernacular, if you would, to speak, communicate to us the truth about God and about Him and about ourselves. So like there's the theme, the icon of fire. God uses that icon of fire to bring about truth about Himself and about ourselves, or the icon of water. How does God use that icon to bring about, how is God's grace like water or bread or tree? So throughout the summer months, we'll be focusing on the iconic summer series. I am looking forward to that as well. Okay? Today, we're going to wrap it up, our current sermon series called Blessed to Be a Blessing. You are blessed first by God to be a blessing unto others and unto God Himself. You are blessed already, as in past perfect tense, you have been blessed, and therefore, a fitting response for us is to bless God and bless others around us. And we have said we bless others with our time, with our talents, and with our treasure. And this morning, we're going to wrap it up by saying we also bless others with our ministry, our services unto God and as well. The main thing here is we, as we serve others with our time, talents, and treasure, we become mature, spiritually speaking. We grow into maturity, spiritually speaking. Now, the opposite of maturity is immaturity. And I did some research on the topic. Who is immature? Now, please don't look at the person next to you sitting, okay? No. This is an exercise in your heads, in your minds. So please do not poke the person or jab her in the ribs. It's just a mental exercise. You guys are already doing it. Stop it. Okay, here we go. A survey was done asking a whole bunch of women, hey, how are men immature? What makes your man, with whom you are right now, immature? And many women have said the following things. He plays games with you. She doesn't mean video games. He plays games with you. He's not serious with you or with the relationship in which he is right now. He only cares about himself. It's about him, he, and his. He lives only in the moment. There's no future with this guy. He can't hold down a job. He's just moving from one job to another or unemployed. Immature. He doesn't stand up for you. That's a big one. He never takes blame. It's always someone else's fault. He doesn't take care. He doesn't take care of you. He worries too much about what other people think. He won't open up to you. And here's the last one. He expects you to be his mom. So women have said these descriptions paint a picture of a man who is immature. Now, another survey was done in which many men were asked, describe a woman who is immature. You know what they said? Oh, let me tell you. So many men said, she's unable to make a decision without consulting her daddy. I find that immature. She has Louis Vuitton taste on a peanut butter jelly sandwich budget. She has a severe case of FOMO. You know what FOMO is? F-O-M-O? Fear of missing out. So she's always, she can't make a decision because if I do this, I'm going to miss out on that one. Lying, stealing, cheating. Yeah. Their words, not mine. She always talks about her ex-boyfriends. That is so immature. She's unable to speak in a logical fashion about anything. What did you say? She expects you to be there for her, but that is not being reciprocated. She seeks the attention of others via massive amounts of selfies. And the last one, her life is so complicated. Now, all these are descriptions of someone who is immature. Okay? But I think there's a principal thought that runs through all these descriptions. Okay? Can we have a photo of a baby up on the screen, please? Okay? Here's a picture of a baby, and he is crying. Now, what do babies do? Three things that the babies do. Number one, they eat. Number two, they poop. And number three, they sleep. They do those three things really well. Now, question. He looks about, 10, 11 months or so? Less than a year, okay? Would you call this baby immature if he's crying because, I'm hungry, feed me? Would you say he's immature? No, I wouldn't. Would you say he's immature because he's crying for, hey, change my diapers? Would you? No, I don't think that's being immature. Would you say he's crying because he wants to sleep? Is that a sign of immaturity? No, I don't think so. I don't think so. Okay? But what if that photo was replaced with my photo? And I'm crying, saying, feed me, I'm hungry. You would call me, hey, you may be a pastor, but you are quite immature. If I were crying because I'm saying, I got diapers, what? Something ain't right here, okay? What's the point? How would you define immaturity? Good question. Good thought. Here's a working definition. Got it? My definition, you don't have to agree with this. I think it's an okay one. I think it's a good one. It may not be perfect for all people, but it's a working definition for us today. So here's my definition of immaturity. It goes like this. Immaturity is a lifestyle in which one chooses not to grow emotionally, relationally, socioeconomically, and spiritually. Immature person is someone who chooses to live in a lifestyle. It's a set of choices and decisions in which he says, I don't want to grow. I'm going to stay where I am today, right here. Okay? So here, let's talk about that. Let's talk about that. If crying because he is hungry as a baby is okay, as a one-year-old, but that's not okay for someone like me because I am being what? Immature. Same activities, but it is not fitting for me because I should have grown out of that. But for some reason, I have chosen to stay where I am. That is immature. Now, today we're going to focus on one aspect. God wants each and every one of you, God wants all people in here to become mature emotionally, relationally, spiritually, socioeconomically, in all aspects. But for the remaining time, we're going to focus on being mature spiritually. Here's a text. Let's turn to the text. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11 through 16. Okay? Here's God's word. So Christ himself gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, and the pastors and teachers to equip his people for works of service, so that the body of Christ, that's us, the body of Christ, may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become what? Mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. I want you to emphasize this picture, that we serve in the body of Christ, so we become mature, attain to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. Next. Then, this is what's going to happen. Then we will no longer be infants, tossed back and forth by the waves, and blown here and there by every wind of teaching, and by the cunning and craftiness of people in their deceitful scheming. Instead, speaking the truth in love, we will grow to become, in every respect, the mature, what? Mature body of him who is the head, that is Christ. Let's read the last verse together in one voice. From him, that's Christ, the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. As each part does its work. All right. Three characteristics of spiritual immaturity. Number one. Spiritual infants are undiscerning. Spiritual infants are undiscerning. Now, I don't know where you stand in terms of this progression. Are you an infant? Are you a toddler? Or are you an adolescent? Or are you a mature body? I don't know. But if you are a spiritually immature person, an infant yet, then you are spiritually undiscerning. That is to say, you don't know how to discern the right path to take or the right lifestyle to choose. For example, a one-year-old boy is always putting everything into his what? His mouth. He takes the bottle into his mouth, as he should. That's good, boy. Way to go. He takes the baby formula food into his mouth. That's really good, really good. But he also puts daddy's shoes into his mouth, and that is not good. He also puts dangerous objects into his mouth. That is not good. He pokes his finger into the electrical outlets. That is not good. He opens the cupboard or the kitchen sink, which contains lots of harmful chemical stuff. That is not good. Question, why does the baby do that? Because he is undiscerning. Baby is not able or capable of discerning what is good and what is bad, what is safe and what is unsafe. Someone has to teach and train the child. Now, you are, if you are a spiritual infant, we have all been there, or we are there now, that means you are not able to discern spiritually. You don't know what is God's truth, for example, and half-truth. You don't know what the gospel of Christ is. You just go to whatever sounds good to your itching ear, because you don't have the maturity of the Bible or the knowledge of God's word to be discerning. For example, if you asked your friends, what is the good news of Jesus Christ? What is the gospel, as they say in the church? What would you say? What would your people say? Many people say this: oh, I think Jesus wants you to be good and do good. There we go. I think Jesus wants you to be good and do good. Okay? Now, that's only half of the truth. Jesus' good news doesn't start there. It starts with, hey, you are, this is in the words of Tim Keller, you are more wicked than you realize, more sinful than you are willing to admit, and yet God accepts you already in Jesus Christ, and he loves you in Jesus Christ, period. It's not being good and doing good. It is, I was unworthy. My sins were great, but Christ came for me. He loved me when I was unlovable. He loved me when I was immature. He loved me when I was undiscerning, and he is going to transform me after that. The goodness of Christ starts with a gift called grace. God loves you. He accepts you in the person of Jesus today, just the way you are. You don't have to be good today. You don't have to do good today. That's going to come after. But right now, it is a sheer gift. You don't deserve it. I'm not worthy of it. And yet God says, it's because I am kind. I am generous. Because I am loving. Because I love you. I am going to embrace you first. Only then you will do good and be good at the end. But the focus is grace. The spiritual infants are undiscerning in the matters of the Bible and what God says. Number two, spiritual infants are self-centered. Self-centered. We know this. Babies are self-centered, and that's okay, because they don't know any better. A baby is not being immature by waking up 2 in the morning. You've been there. Mom, feed me. Well, he can't say, but he just cries and wakes up 2 in the morning. He is so self-centered. Could you not have waited until 7 in the morning when I'm up? Then I can feed you, change the diaper. The baby doesn't care whether you are having dinner or not. He says, could you excuse me, put down the fork, and change my diapers. Because he is so self-centered. But that's okay. That's not a sign of immaturity. But however, you are spiritually immature if you come to a place like this, if you have this orientation in your mind, hey, God is for me, church is for me, and everyone else is for me. Now, again, that's half the truth. But you know you're being immature when you stay there as an infant. The whole universe revolves around you. And you are saying, okay, church, feed me. Church, change me. Church, put me to sleep. You are here for me. Serve me. Well, again, that is okay as an infant, but you got to move on and grow and become mature. Let me just pray right very simply. It's okay for you as a spiritual infant, because you're brand new, to be a childlike, but you cannot remain a child forever. You got to grow and mature. The first sign, spiritual infants are what? Undiscerning. Two, spiritual infants are what? Self-centered. And thirdly, spiritual infants are unsteady. The Bible that we read, it says, you are infants, and you know you're infants when you are being tossed by the wind and by the waves of all kinds of teaching that are false to the truth of God's word. Or you are being waved, tossed in the waves and in the winds because you worry about life. You say, oh, you know, I know God loves me, but what's going to happen tomorrow? I'm going to lose my job. My job is insecure. My future is insecure. What's going to happen to our children? They're not doing well in school. And you focus on yourself and your lack of ability to take control in your life, and you're being waved, tossed back and forth in the waves and in the wind. Instead, being anchored in the truth of God's word as to what he says is going to do for you. Are you that person? How strong is the wind for you right now? Do you feel the wind? Are you being swayed? Are you in the storms of your life and you're being tossed like a rag doll here and there because you're not anchored in the word of God, which is the truth? So that's spiritual infants. Well, let's move on, okay? If that is the immature signs of spiritual infants, then how do we become mature, okay? Here's my working definition. I said immaturity is what? I forgot. I have those senior moments. MJ, make me look good. Could you put on the definition again? Is it on the screen? Is it on the screen? Here we go. Immaturity is a lifestyle in which one chooses to not to grow emotionally, relationally, socioeconomically, and spiritually. Here's my working definition for spiritual maturity. Okay? You become spiritually mature as you take three baby steps. Okay? You become spiritually mature and grow as you take three baby steps. Step number one, you become spiritually mature by being born again. Well, hello, that's very obvious. Here's what the Bible says in the passage that we read, book of Ephesians. If you go back to the second chapter, here's what God says. God says to you and me, when you were still dead in your transgressions. You catch that? All of us are either today or we were in the past spiritually dead. We didn't even have a pulse. You may have been alive biologically and physically and emotionally, but spiritually, between God and you, there was no heartbeat at all because we were dead in our sins. We were dead in our transgressions. And then God says, at that time, God brought you into life, into the person of Jesus Christ. So you are being born again. Friends, look up here. Look up here. Following Jesus, becoming a child of God, is not doing good or being good. It is being born again. It has to be this radical, divine activity of God in heaven above. He has to make you be born again into a new being, new creation. So that's the first step. And how do you take that first step? You say, Jesus Christ, I realize that I am dead in my sins today. I realize when I pushed God away from me, or away from my life, I chose death. And I'm living in deadness right now. And all you have to do is, yes, Jesus, I want this new life. Help me to follow you. Help me to be born again. It's simple as that and as profound as that. Lord Jesus, I want to be born again. Give me a second chance. That's the first step. Simple acknowledgement, simple faith. That's all you need. That's the first step. Second baby step. You become spiritually mature by eating the Word of God. The Bible gives this metaphor or analogy of, hey, eat the Word. The Word refers to the Holy Scripture. It's the spiritual food. There's a cool account in the Old Testament where the people of Israel were very hungry as they traveled in the desert, and they prayed and prayed, oh Lord, we're hungry, feed us. God sends manna. Manna is like this really cool, really interesting bread from heaven. We don't have this today. Okay? It's bread from heaven. And they ate the bread from heaven, manna, and they were satisfied and full. Now, God says, men, women, you shall not live on bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. You shall not, I'm Korean, you shall not live on rice alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. Hungarians, you shall not live on goulash alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. If you are Dutch, you shall not live on potatoes alone, but by the word of God. If you're Cantonese, you shall not live on dim sums alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. We are spiritually hungering. We are spiritually thirsting. And nothing satisfies our souls except the spiritual food. That's the word of God. So we become spiritually mature as we literally eat the word of God daily. How's your diet today? Is it frequent? Is it nurturing? Is it sufficient for your satisfaction? Okay? Simple application. One challenge. I say, take small bites, okay, once a day. We have something called soul food at Mosaic House Church. It's a daily devotional that we send to you via email. It takes about 5 minutes to do. But as you receive the word, as you apply yourself into the word, and as you live it out in 5 minutes, that's a small, small nourishment. But as you mature and grow, you can receive a bigger diet, a longer diet, fuller diet. But let's start from there. 5 minutes of the day, okay, soul food. You can either talk to me today, Pastor Ann, Pastor Une, or you can go to our website and send us an email, or there's actually a click on the website asking for, signing up for soul food. So, number one, you become spiritually mature by being born again. Number two, you become spiritually mature by eating God's word. And lastly, you become spiritually mature by serving the body of Christ. We're going to hunker down on this topic. You become mature by serving the body of Christ. Okay? Here's what we read. Once again, Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11. Could you, MJ, put that up, please? Ephesians 4, chapter 4, verse 11 through 16. Now, okay. Watch this. Christ gave apostles, that's people with leadership in the church, the prophets, people who speak God's word to the people, and the evangelists, these are the people who share, empower you to tell everyone Jesus is the real deal. He is the living bread for us, and we grow by serving him. And the pastors, they look after, nurture, shepherd the flock of God's people, and the teachers who impart wisdom and truth of God's word. All these people, their job is one. Next line. Their job is to equip, prepare, train you all for works of service. And that's the work of God. My job is not only to do God's work, but primarily, perhaps more importantly, my job is to equip, train, prepare you for the works of God, that you may engage in the service so that you may be built up in Christ. Next line. Okay? And as you serve, here's what happens. You reach what? Unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become, that's the key word again, you become mature as you serve, as you utilize your time, talent, and treasure for the kingdom of God and for the works of service. And as you do that, you attain the whole measure of Jesus Christ. Friends, you could be born again. You might be reading God's word, eating God's word daily, perhaps 3 times a day. But if you don't serve, if you don't exercise by serving the body of Christ, you know what happens to you? You become spiritually obese. None of you is physically obese, but you could be spiritually obese because you are not exercising by engaging in the works of service. God says, if all you do is receive the word, but without exercising, your knowledge puffs up. But it's through the act of service, loving the body of Christ, using your gifts and talents, that's when you become mature, and that's when you experience the fullness of Jesus Christ. I'm going to celebrate all that with you today, because this church is focused on that truth. What's my job? Train you, equip you, and challenge, motivate, inspire you so that you may do the works of service together with the rest of us. And that's how you attain your own maturity. So let's celebrate together. We have the setup team led by Elder Vincent, who is commuting from between here and Toronto. And this is his week in Toronto, so he's not there. He may be listening in on this conversation via the website. However, he leads his setup teams to set up everything that you see here. So may I ask all the setup team to stand and remain standing. Those who invest your time and your talents, your sweat and perspiration to set things up. Just the two of you. Oh, so I see Larry, TB, Jack, Katete. Okay. Hey, listen. Yeah. Let's do this right. We need you to stand so that we may acknowledge you. The need is ours, okay? Okay? So, good. Team, because you do what you do with your time and talents, we get to do this. You are helping us accomplish the mission of Christ together. We are deeply indebted to you, and we thank you for your time and your talents and your treasure. Thank you. You are becoming mature all the more. Thank you. We have a team of welcome and hospitality. The champion for this ministry is Josie, who is out of town today. But I want to ask Waylin, stand please. So Waylin also heads up the team of greeters. She's the first person that contacts you to our first-time guests. Okay? Would all the greeters stand up, please? Those who are on the greeting team, remain standing. Stand up, okay? In addition to that, we have a table fellowship team. Table fellowship team is led by Elaine. Elaine is already standing, okay? Man, you're quick, okay? As you know, we create the table fellowship time, create an environment in which our guests can receive our welcome and hospitality because God is so welcoming and hospitable to us, and we want to reflect that, okay? Now, teams, you do what you do so that together, not only are you growing spiritually, but we are experiencing the welcome and hospitality of Jesus Christ together. And the recipients are not only ourselves, but our first-time guests. Every time I talk to a first-time guest, they say this, you know, I just appreciate your welcome, the greeting time, and also the lunch time. Okay? It helps us to connect. So thank you so much. collection team. This is led by Lynn Duell. Lynn, would you please stand? Okay. And her team, team members, please stand, please. All right. Remain standing. Now, thank you. Now, it may not be a big thing, but here's the thing. What you do is you take your time and you take your hands to serve the body in such a way that you help us to serve God with our generosity, with our treasures. And this is important. Because if you didn't do your work, then I don't know what we would be doing. So thank you so much for attaining to the whole measure of Christ. Thank you. We're so complicated, we're so complex. We have a collecting team, and we have a counting team. Okay? Counting team is led by Catherine and Kim Vanderhoek. Catherine, are you here? I saw you. You were here, but you are no longer here. Man, how does that happen? She is downstairs teaching. Yes, yes. I'm going to stick with that story. That's a good story. Okay? Again, they take the time, and in confidentiality, with deep sense of trust and obligation, they invest their time to collect our offering and see to it that it be well used. Thank you so much. Facility team, this is the team that works in behind the scenes. Mr. MacGyver. Okay. It's a one-man show. He has other teams. Now, so wait. You have team members. Yeah, Frank. Elder Frank, and Jack, stand up, please. Yeah, Jack. So these are the handy guys. Bob the Builder, can you fix it? We call these guys. Hey, listen, thank you. God didn't give me this gift, and you are glad he didn't. You don't want me to fix things for you. It will be a mess. So thank you for taking your time. Okay. I bet you had no idea that we had such a team. The cleaning team, the Bonilla family. Bonilla family, please stand. Elder Walter and the Bonilla family. Hey, listen, okay? You don't know because they do this behind the scenes. They invest their time and talent and treasure to clean our facilities voluntarily. And they do this monthly throughout the year. So thank you. The financial team. This is led by Frank, Elder Frank, and Daniel Boy. They invest their time and talents to invest our resources and to make it further and to make it last or impactful. That's a good word. Impactful for the kingdom of God. So we thank for their talents as well. Elders, very important. Our church is governed by elders. And would all the elders stand? Herman? Herman is the chair of the elders. We have Pastor Ann, Walter, Elder Bonilla, but also Elder Frank, who is out of town with Josie, Elder Vincent, Elder Derek at East Campus, and myself. With your faithfulness and with your discerning spirit, because you are mature in Jesus Christ, you serve the church and you lead the church. And it requires time and talents and treasure. And we thank you. We're deeply indebted to your leadership. Thank you so much. How about the personnel team? The personnel team oversees staff. So this is led by Jack. Jack, why don't you just remain standing, okay? This is getting tiring for you, sitting up and down, okay? So Jack, but also Elder Herman, and we have Renee at East Campus. They make us better. They improve us, they serve us, support us, the staff. Because of your hard work and your encouragement and inspiration and accountability, we serve the church. And we hope to do that even better and more effectively. Thank you so much. Mamita Anais, please stand. She is this girl is on fire, worship director. She oversees worship environment, including the audio team and the visual team. The champion of the visual team, we heavily rely on this tool. I don't even know what to call this. It's the visual tool device that we use that we may grow together in Christ. We have the sound team. Would you please stand? The audio team. Audio team, please stand. Catherine is the lead point. Audio team. Oh, visual team, please stand. Thank you. There's MJ. There's Catherine. And there's Graham. And there's someone else. Okay, listen. Audio team. Okay. Very vital to what we do. Here's the thing. When they do a good work, you don't notice it. When they don't, you do notice. So this is really both visual and audio, high pressure environment. But I gotta tell you, you do this week in and week out. We thank you for investing your time, talents. Together we grow and attain to the full measure of Christ. Thank you so much. Oh, and all the musicians, praise team members, did you stand? Praise team members, we must acknowledge you. Huge part of what we do. Praise teams, thank you. Hey, singing is a beautiful tool. It touches our core in a way that nothing else does, and we worship God through your ministry. Thank you so much. Couple more. Children's ministry. This is led by Pastor Une as the children's director. This oversees baby house, the nursery, little house, the preschool, and also kids house, elementary, and also youth. So Liz is in charge of baby house. Please stand. Pastor Une as the director. We have the little house and kids house, and also youth is led by Amanda and other youth workers like Peter. Peter, would you please stand? Youth workers, remain standing. Okay. Listen. You help us, the parents, to teach our children to follow Jesus. You are our partners. And raising a child takes a whole village, right? That's an African proverb. And it is so true. It takes a village to raise a child. So we thank you. For your effort. Pastor Ann, please stand. I don't have the time to explain all the things that she does. It just takes too long. We're going to focus on two. Among other things, thank you so much. She is the champion. She's the heartbeat of our house church movement and prayer. Two vitally important aspects of our ministry. So thank you for your passion. Thank you for your time, and thank you for making us, the church, healthier and more vibrant. Thank you so much. Kim Vanderhoek is the executive administrator. She is at East Campus, but we thank Kim tremendously. And lastly, we have campus pastor here at South Campus. Une, please stand. It is under her leadership. The ship is sailing. So thank you. It takes so much time for you, and I know that because I see it. We're married. Okay? So I see all your work. But on behalf of the church, I want to thank you. Yeah. Let's conclude, okay?
We want to thank you, Pastor Victor, for all that you do for Mosaic House Church. We want to thank you for equipping us and encouraging us and pushing us to follow Christ as you do. Thank you.
Thank you. Let's wrap it up. Two applications, one story. Okay? You see all these people who stood? Okay? They are spiritually mature because they serve. Sunday school teachers, I forgot to ask the teachers to stand. Huh? Like people like Mrs. Langill, okay? Sunday school teachers, kids house. Hey, this is what we do. Church is not a place just to sit and receive. But after having received, nurtured, we serve. If we don't serve, you become obese. You don't want to become obese. You want to be healthy and robust and vibrant. Healthy, healthy people, spiritually speaking. Amen, amen. So, number one application, go for a test drive. Of all the things that you heard, say, hey, I think I want to try joining the setup team. Can I just come for a test drive just 1 week, a month? Or you love to sing. Not only that, people think you're a good singer. Come for the audition. Tap on the shoulder of Anais and say, hey, can I see, would you please check me out? See if I'm a good fit with the praise team. All right? Okay. So come for a test drive. Second application. This coming weekend is the camp out. Fantastic place to come for a test drive because we get to serve, play, and eat together. I guarantee you, if you come and if you're not grown at the end of the weekend, I'm going to make you grow somehow. And your money returned without any questions. Now, story, done with this. Henry is a Chinese professor who has come to Edmonton, to the U of A with his family. Atheist, knew nothing about God, but when he came to Edmonton, he said, you know, I think in Canada, people go to church, and I want to experience the Canadian culture. So he says, since it's a thing they do here, honey, I think we should go to a church. He Googles and he says, hey, there's a church nearby. It's us, Mosaic House Church. He comes for the first time. For the first time. He knows nothing about the Bible, nothing about God. He comes. And yet, he hears the word of God. He feels the welcome and hospitality. He is invited to things like a house church. And he is fully engaged. He is soaking it in. He's just eating it up, eating it up, eating it up. Long story short, God takes hold of him. And he says, Henry, you are dead. I'm going to make you born again. A supernatural power. And boom, he gets baptized. He is serving. He is in a house church. And this brand new spiritual Christian is gathering his Chinese friends and teaching, studying the Bible together now. An infant teaching the dead people about the Bible, about Jesus Christ. It is amazing. You played a role in that. He's going to go back to China in December, and he's going to tell everyone about Jesus Christ. You played a role. You played a part. You made an impact in what you do, that together we may grow, together we may mature, and we may experience the full measure of Christ. Let's pray together. Lord Jesus, thank you so much for the opportunity that we serve. Yes, Lord, we get to serve. It's not an obligation. It's a joy and a privilege and an honor. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Now, by your grace, by the power of your Holy Spirit, encourage, motivate, challenge us to grow, mature by serving through your word and being born again. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Let there be many more Henrys in Edmonton and beyond. To you, we give you all the glory and thanks. In the name of Jesus, we pray. And everyone said, amen.